This is Intercom Episode 2 for Touro College of Osteopathic Medicine in Middletown, New York. Hello and welcome to the Osteopod. Today's episode is the second interview in the Intercom series, this one with Stuart Da Silva, a fourth-year medical student at Touro College of Osteopathic Medicine in Middletown, New York. Before we get into the interview, let's talk about a few quick facts about the school. While there are many Touro campuses out there, the Middletown campus is one of the newest ones, opening its doors in 2014. The campus sits about 60 miles outside of New York City in the Hudson Valley region of New York. While I couldn't find any information online at their webpage about class sizes and minimums of GPAs and MCAT scores, that information was solicited by Stuart in the interview. So there's a class size of about 130 students. That much we know for sure. An interesting fact about the new school is that it is built on an old hospital, and therefore some of the old rooms inside of the hospital had been changed into dormitories, and so in-house dormitories are offered at Middletown, New York, and that is pretty interesting. Without further ado, let's get into the interview with Stuart Da Silva on Touro College of Osteopathic Medicine at Middletown, New York.
All right, so I'm Stuart Da Silva. I'm fourth year right now at Torocom in Middletown, New York. There's another one in Harlem, but I'm in Middletown, a little upstate. Originally from Phoenix, Arizona, Mesa more precisely. Why medicine? Actually, why Touro is, I guess, a little easier. I think I applied to like maybe 19 total. I applied both MD and DO, but I knew I would be fine with DO because I had worked as a medical scribe for like 2 years, and the majority of the doctors I worked with were actually DOs. And so I was like, no, they do a great job, I'll apply DO as well. I got 4 interviews. I got one out at Kirksville, AT Still in Kirksville, Missouri, one at Touro, New York, and then at both of the U of A's. I got waitlisted at both of the U of A's, and then some schools I just never even heard back from, which happens. And then a few, you get your wonderful rejection letters. Like my safety school, I think, was Midwestern. And they were my first rejection. So that was not thrilling in the whole application process. But I actually, so why Touro is my wife, I had just been married. And I looked at her and I was like, well, where do you want to go? And she's like, oh, like it'd be cool to live in New York. And it's like, all right. So we threw a bunch of New York schools on the list. They offered me a secondary. And I was a little hesitant because they have a $200 cost for their secondary fee. And I was like, well, like, I don't know. So I ended up calling their admissions coordinator. His name's Frank Rose. He is like the most genuinely kind person you'll ever meet in your life. And he looked over my application and he was like looked at my scores, looked at everything. He's like, yeah, like you meet our criteria. I think they had me specifically choose if I wanted to go to Harlem versus Middletown or if I didn't care. And I think I had originally put Harlem only. And he's like, if you switch it to it doesn't matter, then I know I can for sure get you an interview at Middletown's campus. I was like, fine. So I paid the $200, did the secondary, and a day later, I had an invite to go out there. Went there, had a great vibe from like the students that I met with, sat down with like multiple deans that they had there. And they really, I don't know, I felt pretty comfortable. My wife was able to go out there with me and really liked the area. So it just fit. I went out to Kirksville as well, but it was Kirksville I really liked, but it was just, there's not a lot around there. So there wasn't a lot of job opportunity for my wife. So that was a pretty hard thing, as she wouldn't really have a whole ton to do. So we went with New York. Why medicine? So my parents are both immigrants and we moved a lot since I was a kid. And I knew I wanted a little more stability and stuff. We moved because of my dad's job. And like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to have a little control over my life and have a little more say in where I live. And so I knew I wanted to either don't know, I think I got really obsessed with Top Gun. So I was like, it's either medicine or it's becoming a pilot for the military. And I did that whole, like, I took all the military exams, like, did their training and was accepted to West Point. And then I wanted to do a mission for the church, for our church. And at the time, I think it's different now, but at the time they weren't really thrilled about that. They didn't like the idea of me leaving. And they weren't super friendly about the whole, like, feeding into medical school. Like, they didn't really have a track for it. And so I just got the vibe it wasn't for me. I was like, you know what? I guess I'm not going to be a pilot for now. And med school is the way it's going to go. I went on that mission. And while I was there, I got really, really sick. And I was in the middle of nowhere in northern Mexico, no hospitals around. And a guy that I had been working with was actually, he did. Med school in foreign countries is usually straight out of high school, and it's 6 years or 5 years plus like an internship year. So the guy I'd worked with was doing his internship year, and he got kicked out for being drunk on the job. So we were kind of helping him work with that. And luckily enough, he was still a smart guy. And when I got sick, like I passed out and I woke up on his bed, and he had put an IV in my arm with saline hanging, or like a banana bag hanging off of a coat hanger in his bedroom. And I was like, and he just like, I gave me, I don't know what medications for the next few days. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. This is what I want to do. And so it solidified it. I went back, did my prereqs, and here we are.
Can you describe what Middletown, New York is like?
So Middletown is, people won't say it's actually upstate. It's about 65 miles outside of Manhattan. So it's an hour and 15 minute drive, and you're in the city. So for me, it was close enough yet far enough away. So I'm not a big fan of living in that city. Some people love it, but it is crazy congested and not for me. Middletown was also a little bit cheaper. The population around 30,000-40,000, but it's a pretty like it's a lot of small towns kind of all back to back. And so it's kind of hard to quantify. There's not a crazy amount of things to do there, but there's like a lot of like hiking, and obviously you're close to the snow. There's like snow sports and stuff. Population is pretty diverse. I'd say about a third of the people are Hispanic, Latino, another third are Black, African American, and then another third would be like white, Caucasian. It's a pretty safe city, except for I think like the downtown area. Not a great place to live. Other than that, I didn't have any issues there. Because the medical school, like the medical school opened up because like it prompted a new hospital to also be built. And so it's like the only new hospital in New York for the past like 50 years or something like that. So it's a big like 400 bed tertiary care hospital that's specific to our school. So like only our students will rotate there, which is really unusual, I think, for osteopathic schools. The school itself is the old hospital that was closed to create the new one. They like took a piece of it and renovated it. So it looks a little bit to be desired from the outside, but the inside is like brand new, everything. It's up on a nice hill, so you'll get a nice workout every day walking up to it. But it has like, I mean, every amenity you can really want. Like there's like a Sam's Club and other stuff there, like movie theater, bowling alleys, all like things that you'd want to do. Like people like to drink. It's a really high, like there's tons of breweries everywhere. So that's really big out there. And then, yeah, because of the school, because of the new hospital, there's plenty of new housing popping up everywhere. So my first place when we moved there was like, we were the first tenants in a brand new apartment complex. Really right, like nice place. It was a little more expensive than I wanted it to be. I think we were paying like $1,800 a month for a 2-bedroom apartment plus utilities. There are dorms in the school. I can't remember what they run for. Like there's different sizes of the dorms. I'd say anywhere about $1,000 a month or so, $1,000 to $1,200, somewhere around there. Like in all the amenities included, minus you can't really cook there. Like, so that was kind of the kicker, is wasn't really anywhere to cook because it sets off all the old fire alarms and stuff. But yeah, I mean, then you literally take the elevator and you're in class. So there's perks to that too. And you don't have to walk in the cold and snow. So
So you went into some detail about the campus itself. Is there anything else you'd like to add about it? And is there anything missing on campus?
Again, I think the missing part is there's kind of been a little bit of overturn as far as having like a main like food or coffee place on campus. And I think what they've stuck with finally now is kind of like an honor system. Like there's like kind of some grocery stuff out there and like coffee that you can get, and you kind of swipe your card and you pay for it that way. Kind of thing. Obviously there's cameras and stuff, so not like you kind of have to go outside for food, and that was kind of a hard thing because you'd have to run in between classes if you're going to get something. Other than that, the classes are in both the classrooms, like they're all in the basement, and so there's not really like windows around. But if you go up to like higher, like there's multiple levels in the building because it's the old hospital, there's other places where you can have like windows and places to kind of look outside and see something other than the wall while you study for endless hours. Their anatomy lab is actually like everything is pretty new. So the anatomy lab was like brand new, well ventilated, so it didn't smell like terribly every time you went in there. And then they had, some people really liked it. I wasn't the biggest fan of it. They have like this Z-Space thing where you put on these glasses and it was essentially like 3D anatomy. So you could have like a cadaver, like a body in front of you, and you can take pieces off of it and study it in layers. It gave me headaches, but other people really enjoyed that, and it helped them really do well on like the finite things in anatomy. You couldn't really dissect well. Other than that, it's a pretty typical school. Like classrooms are like auditorium set up for the most part, with microphones. Class size is 135-ish, so you get to know everyone pretty well, and it's not like ginormous. Yeah, and then like if you go up farther, that's when you're in the dorms. So a few levels of like one level is admin, the basement level is classrooms, and anything above that is, I think the second floor is offices and like the labs. There's a cool sim lab, which actually was really, I think that was a really good feature. We have like a med sim course that we took, and we practiced like IVs and LAC repairs and things like that. So it wasn't my first time when I got to third year. I'm trying to learn all that. And there's a few clubs for that on campus too, to kind of like get better, like ACLS and things like that. So I really like that. And you can, like, if you just talk to people in charge of it, they would let you come in after hours and work with them on things. So that was a pretty big plus, like state of the art sim man and stuff. And we would run codes and things like that too. So
what's the curriculum like the first 2 years of medical school?
Basics, basic sciences, pretty much first year. Your anatomy, your physiology, biochem. So one thing I wasn't super fond of the school is when I went there to interview, they made it seem like you don't have to go to class. You have a choice to go to class or to not. And you do, like anywhere, you don't have to. Their curriculum is what they say is a flipped curriculum. So you're given a set number of videos with content and PowerPoints, and you can download the PowerPoints and just read through those. You can watch them and put notes as you watch the videos with them, however you learn best, and just listen to them whenever. And so you could be prepared for the next day in class. Like all the class sessions would be like an hour of anatomy, or not really. Oh, well, yeah, even anatomy, you'd have like an hour twice a week, where you would go in, it'd be over X amount of material or X amount of videos and PowerPoints, and you would do clicker questions on them as a class. And so you would pull them. The kicker was, if you didn't go to class and you didn't do your clicker questions, you would automatically lose a 10% of your grade. And so even if you aced every exam, that would like essentially hold you at a B for almost all the classes. And so that was really rough. So it was almost like you were forced to go to class. And I wasn't a big fan of that because I don't really learn as well in that setting. But yeah, so it was pretty much, classes ran most of the days, like Monday, Wednesday, would be like 8 to 5, with like, hour long sessions, for each class. And it would kind of be like each class would have like an hour out of the week for the most part. Tuesdays and Thursdays, like, were split. You would either be, like, your second half of the day would either be 4 hours in anatomy lab versus 4 hours or 2 hours in the OMM lab, and 2 hours in, like, histology lab or something like, or pathology lab, depending on what semester it was. there were a lot of offered like extra classes. Like if you were really weak in immunology, microbiology or something, there were extra hour long classes, usually like 7 a.m. supplemental classes that you could go to as well. Not always a great turnout for those, but like TAs, professors would all be there and help you if you had questions. Yeah, I mean, when you're doing your clickers, most of the time it was like everyone talks together and kind of comes up with a consensus, and then you'd go over why each one was right, why each one was wrong. Some classes would provide those clicker questions later to review. Some of them would not. And so you'd have to kind of be there to see them or have someone who could look at them. There was like a screen share program that you can use. So you don't have, if you can't see the board really well, you could still use your computer and screenshot everything and study it later. But yeah, so first years, those were the basic sciences I mentioned earlier. Second year was a little more systems based. So you're going to be doing, I don't remember exactly how you start, but like you had your cardio, like I think cardiology and pulmonology was probably a good 6 weeks together versus maybe a 2 weeks on like dermatology, another 2 weeks on rheumatology kind of things that were a little more lower yield when it comes to the board exams. And that's all you would do for the month. And it would be like, you'd have all your same classes, but it would be like, okay, so this is cardiology's immunology, microbiology, the pathology of the heart and the lungs, the pharmacology specific to hypertensive meds or like asthma meds, whatever, like COPD, those kinds of things. So everything was specific to, like it would pretty much fall in line between all the classes. So you would have pretty good overlap so that at the end of each like block, so let's say it was cardiology, it was 4 weeks, you would have one exam at the end of the 4 weeks with, that was pretty cumulative. And then they had one, like a clinical systems course, I think that's what it was called. And that was kind of a separate course of its own. And it was a little more third year based. It was a lot more of like putting the stuff that we learned into practice. And that was a harder and like pretty long exam. I think it was like 2.5 or 3 hours by itself. So let me backtrack a little bit. You would take exam wise, it was kind of rough first and second, first year, I think more than second year. Because first year it wasn't so block based, like it wasn't systems based. So you would have like 1 week sometimes where it would be Monday was your histology exam, and Wednesday you're doing like a physical diagnosis class, and Friday you have immunology, microbiology, or what, anatomy, whatever it was. And so some weeks you would have 3 exams to go, and it was pretty rough. Some weeks you would have maybe 1, 2, or none, and so it kind of just varied. Like you just, finals week was pretty brutal because you just have back-to-back exams, versus second year it was just those systems. And so you knew like, yeah, I have all these classes and I can study them however I want at whatever pace really works for you. But at the end of the month, you got to come prepared for all of it together. And I enjoyed, like, I think first year was actually my lowest GPA. Not that it was terrible, but it was definitely like, it was just hard to keep up like any med school. Second year was much easier. My grades significantly improved. Not for like lack of effort, but I think you also kind of get better as you go at studying of what works for you. And then third and fourth year, you're away on rotations.
Can you break down what a typical day and week would look like?
So most classes were mostly heavy Monday, Wednesdays through the day. Tuesdays, like you'd have some classes in the morning. I remember like one of the days was like, there was like a physical diagnosis class, like lab and class. And so you'd spend a few days, and that was basics of like, let's learn about an eye exam or an abdominal exam, and then you go practice it in the lab itself. But Tuesdays and Thursdays, they would split you up into halves of your class. So like half of the class would be in anatomy for the whole day. Like you'd spend 2 hours on a cadaver, an hour in that Z space thing that I mentioned before. And then another hour where you would do plastinations, which was kind of like pre-cut cadavers that were like put in some kind of special plasters. So you could kind of look at it almost like CT scan cuts. And so it was just different ways to see the anatomy. And then everyone else who wasn't there would be spending their hours in the OMT lab practicing that stuff. Or you'd be in histology or pathology for like this, like 2 hours of OMM and 2 hours of histology or whatever it was. And so you'd either have those Tuesday, Thursdays flip-flop. Because it is a Jewish school, Fridays Friday at sundown is the beginning of Shabbat. There's the Jewish Sabbath. And so for the whole school, faculty included, the school would close by 2 o'clock. And so you really only had morning classes till noonish, maybe a class till one. But that was about it. So usually you'd have like rest of Friday afternoon and like the weekend to do study for your exam that was coming up or whatever you want.
Are there any special tracks or programs that your school offers in addition to the curriculum?
I've heard of other schools that did that. Like I've heard of other schools having like an OMM fellowship, like an extra year or some kind of thing. Our school didn't, I don't think that's changed right now. That I know of, there is no track, like there's no like distinction besides like you do like service, like a certain amount of service hours, and you can get certain distinctions. There's like opportunities to be a TA in any of the classes, and that would kind of give you a little bit of a distinction, but there's no particular track for like global health or no emphasis on any one thing. So I'd say no, not at the moment.
Are there research opportunities offered at your school?
So you got to be pretty proactive to get those. I think if you really are persistent about it to like a particular faculty member, then yes. I wouldn't say it's abounding in options for that, because I think what it came down to was either having that sim lab and like that ZSpace thing that I mentioned, or having like a bench research lab. Opted for the former. So there's no particular like research area. They may be working on that in the future though, because they only used a portion of the old hospital to create the school. So they may take another piece of it and add another research lab. It just wasn't there when I was there, but I still was able to talk to upperclassmen who were rotating and kind of get my foot in the door to, once I was a second year, start helping with like data collection and things like that. And then obviously, once you're a third year, whatever site you're in, you can very easily like find. I think at our main site had 5 different residencies, and so there was plenty of research going on there. It was just, and you could do it as a first or second year, but you had to kind of be pretty persistent about it because it was just limited spots for lower classmen to get into that.
What are third and fourth year like at your school?
So first and second years is all your sciences, essentially, like we mentioned before. So your all your pharmacology, your physiology, your anatomy, biochemistry, pathology, all the things that you typically think of as a med school. And then once you're preparing for your board exams the entire time. So the end of second year, kind of between your second and third year transition, you take your step one, level one board exams. And the school, you have to pass your board exams to be able to start your third year rotations. And once you do, third year is strictly rotations of, I don't know how every other school does it, but we do it month to month. So, and everyone's schedule varied. There's multiple clinical sites where you could go to, because they couldn't fit all 130 students at the one hospital at the same time. So I can only speak to the site where I really rotated at. But we have 2 months of family medicine, 2 months of internal medicine, 2 months of surgery, a month of OBGYN, a month of pediatrics, 1 month of psychiatry, and 1 month of emergency medicine as a third year, which isn't really common. Most schools have them as a fourth year for emergency medicine. And then you have 1 month of an elective and 1 month of vacation. And you don't exactly get a say in how you put those together. So there was different tracks is what they called them. And there was a lottery. Before you, like during your second year, everyone would put in for the lottery and you could choose it to, I want to be at this particular rotation site, or you could stack it in terms of, I want this particular schedule. Say, I wanted to start, like if you really want to do surgery, I wouldn't do surgery first as a third year. So you would put it a little closer to towards the middle or to middle end when you know a little more. And so the people who wanted to do surgery might start with family medicine. So they would do 2 months of family medicine, 2 months of internal medicine, and then surgery. The people who really didn't care or just got that luck of the draw, some of them started with surgery. So they would start with those 2 months of surgery, then go on to like a month of pediatrics or OBGYN. But then their ending months would be that family medicine, internal medicine. And so everything kind of just shifts and you're somewhere on that cycle. And then you could also position it like, I need my vacation months at this time. Like, I have a wedding, so I need my vacation month in November or whatever it was. And that would adjust the other rotations accordingly. Fourth year, pretty lax. I think there's the only requirements now, it recently changed that you only have to do 1 month of an internal medicine sub-I and then a 1 month of a family medicine outpatient. Everything else is essentially elective. So, and you have to do 9 rotations total for fourth year. So, and you, the first half of fourth year, you're given the option to take a month off any time. So you could take the month off at the beginning of fourth year and study for step level 2. But as long as you do your 9 months, you're done. So if I do take that month off, I'm done by the end of April. And then I just hopefully relax for a couple months until I start residency. Third year, you do take an exam just at the end. There's a shelf exams that you take, or COMAT exams is another way they call them. You take them at the end of the rotation. So if you're on a 2 month rotation, you're at the end of the 2 months, you take your exam over all of surgery or whatever it is. If it's a 1 month, you take it at the end of the 1 month. And you, for all of us, it was either you had to go back to like our main, like the school itself to take those exams and be proctored. There was one exception to like a site in Sharon, Connecticut site, just because it's really far away. They wouldn't have to come in because it was so far away. Other than that, everyone had to kind of come back.
Where specifically do you get to rotate?
So I think main hospital site, there's Orange Regional Medical Center is our main hospital. And that's the one that has residencies for emergency medicine, internal medicine, family medicine, psychology, and surgery. So if you really wanted to go to one of those programs, people really fought for those. Some people really wanted to leave Middletown, but 48 of us would stay in Middletown. And that was the biggest number. I think another, I'd say 10 to 12 would be in a group called Horizon. And I don't know if they've changed this one recently, they may have, but that one you had to travel a little more, but it was a little more outpatient based. So if you knew you wanted to do something more outpatient, then that was the way to go. But you'd, at all the sites, you do all the same rotations, just different places. Vassar Hospital is another one of our sites. There's another group that would go up to Syracuse in New York. So a lot of people who were from that area, or a lot of people, we had a lot of Canadian students, they would really like to go up there. And they'd probably take another 12 or so. There were a few closer to the city as well. I'm trying to remember the name of the hospital, but I'm blanking on it. And then there's also the New Jersey Consortium is what they called it. So a lot of sites throughout New Jersey. We have a lot of New Jersey students. And so that was a really hot one as well. So it was pretty much 50 students at one site and 8 to 12 at the rest. And I think an unlucky 4 is what we called it, went out to Sharon, Connecticut. But that one also could house up to 12. The good thing of having the sister school with Harlem was they would do their whole match process, like their lottery, a week before us. And they have different sites all throughout Manhattan and Long Island and Staten Island and whatever openings they had left over at like Kingsbrook Hospital, for example. Those would be open to us to apply to, like, put in the lottery. So people who really wanted to live in New York, go for it. If you want to go back to Brooklyn or whatever, you could. And then we would have another week after everything was said and done for both sites where you could offer up like, hey, this is my schedule. This is where I'm rotating. Anyone want to trade? Like if you didn't get what you wanted particularly, or if you really want to go back to the city, you could be able to communicate with the Harlem students and be like, hey, if anyone, like RMC was a pretty big one. I think RMC is the biggest for Middletown and Staten Island is the biggest for Harlem, but don't quote me on the Harlem one for sure. I think that's what I heard, but you could interchange. And I think that was pretty cool. So we had a good number of people that were like, hey, I want to be in the city, and people from Harlem who didn't want to be in the city anymore. So they flip-flopped. So that was cool.
Did you feel prepared for your board exams with the education you received?
I felt pretty prepared, to be honest. But the disclaimer is, regardless of what anyone else tells you, like at least the first 2 years of med school, it's 100% on you. Like the professors can only provide you with the material, but you really got to learn how you learn and put in the time for that. And some people are brilliant and spend a few hours and they retain it forever. And I'm really jealous of those people. I'm not one of them. I had to like The way I learned was I needed repetition. And so if I knew I had 1,000 slides for whatever exam, I needed to go through that 4 times. And yeah, it was rough. Like I had a lot of long days, a lot of long nights, but I'd like go through like a decent amount of time the first time, shorter the second time, shorter the third time. And then by the fourth time, I'm just clicking through just to make sure I didn't miss anything or jog anything to memory. And that was just my way of doing it. But I felt prepared going into level one, which is the osteopathic exam, step one. I felt a little less prepared, to be 100% honest. There were just some weird questions that I just don't remember like ever learning about some of those things. And so like, I never felt like I could have done anything more to prepare for those. Like I had put in enough in the first 2 years that I was like, I did well enough. And I think our school did pretty well. I think our first time pass rate on the boards for my year at least was like a 97, if not 98%. So we did pretty well. Let's see. Step two and level two. Like I took both. Not everyone takes both, but I just knew with the merger and a lot of programs out west, if you're looking to go back west for residency, a lot of them really require step one and two. So I took both. It just cost more money. And 2 days of 8 hour long exam, 8-9 hour long exams, and it's pretty brutal. But I felt step two and level two I was pretty prepared. But that's because I'm a lot more of a hands-on learner. So being there and rotating and seeing like the disease processes in action and kind of like learning from patients and studying from what I saw that day was way more beneficial to me. And of course, I'm going into emergency medicine. And so it was more applicable to be better at hands-on. And everyone uses different books to study for whatever you find works for you. But I never felt unprepared going into a COMAT.
Does your school offer clubs in addition to support groups / activities for families, spouses, children, that kind of thing?
Spouse-wise, no. That was mostly like I figured out who else had spouses and they would hang out or whatever. Like whoever else had kids, like their kids would hang out with my kids, whatever. Or my wife would go to the gym with their wife. But as far as extracurriculars, there's a ton. Like there's a club for everything. Like a club for every specialty, and not that difficult really to become like a president or a vice president. You just got to really show your interest, voting for it, whatever. It just depends how involved you want to be. There's like simulation stuff. There's a lot of EMS interest there too. So you can do ride-alongs for ambulances and things like that if that's what you're good at. Some students worked and did that through med school somehow, like would pick up a shift or two, like anything you're interested in, I feel like you could put your foot, like if it wasn't already created, you could create it because it is such a new school and you'd find someone to support you. So yeah, I think that's the benefit of being the new school is pave your way and someone will help you out. Whatever we wanted to do, like we would run it by faculty and make sure everything was accounted for and they were fine with it. There is a master's program at the school. So like if you're not immediately accepted, there were master's students who would essentially do first year minus like OMM stuff. And they would then, if you met a certain GPA, you would feed into the school. So for those people, it was a little bit easier to do first and second year because they had a pretty strong base. And a lot of those people, were the ones that had the extra time and would start a lot of those clubs and things. And you could also just piggyback with them. So
are there any challenges that your school is facing? And in your opinion, is there anything that could be improved at your school?
Challenges? I wouldn't say any challenges. I feel like their faculty is actually, the professors that I all worked with were really open. I think our OMM was second to none. Like our board scores in OMM were always like almost top of the nation. Our immunology, microbiology was also like, I ended up TAing for that class, those classes, because I loved it so much. And those teachers, so that was good. And then our pharmacology was really strong. I think our physiology might be the weaker point when I was there. We always did slightly below the national average. So I would tell whoever is going there to just put a little extra time into the physiology because then it makes second, third, fourth year, everything else a little easier. I don't know if there's any one particular challenge, to be honest, like, and not any one thing that they're lacking, like compared to any other school, at least. nothing glaring. Just like how I mentioned before, like I didn't like spending so much time in class. That was kind of the kicker for me. I feel like if I could have kind of had a little more of my own schedule, I may have done a little better instead of having to kind of pay attention in the classes. But other than that, I wouldn't say there's any challenges. I felt pretty well prepared, and my friends as well. Like, we had a pretty good class. Everyone seemed to like each other. Like, I found some pretty lifelong friends, and you stick up for one another, and you push each other through, and you help each other when you're down. And I don't know, some people make med school out to be the worst thing on earth and the hardest thing ever, but I had the time of my life and I would do it again.
Any final thoughts or pieces of advice you'd like to give?
General advice, make sure you need at least a 3.0 GPA to get into school. It's really hard. You can do it. Like, you can go through a master's program and feed in with a lower than 3, but it's pretty hard. I feel like a lot of schools, just like residency programs, they'll filter you out, like your application out, if you don't have at least a 3.0 GPA. And the same thing with your MCAT score. I'll be pretty open. I got a 504 on my MCAT. That was the second time that I took it. The first time I took it, I took the old one and I rushed it. And I got a 23 because I hadn't even taken all the prereqs at that point, but I didn't want to take the new one. Highly discourage that. Definitely, whatever extracurriculars you have, they can be on back burner while you study for the MCAT. Yeah, like, you got to have that score. Like, they all have a minimum. I'm pretty sure, Toro, I don't know if I'm even allowed to say this, but I think it's at least a 500, if not a 501, to be qualified for an interview. And so, yeah, you gotta be at least average. And that's in an osteopathic school. If you're applying allopathic, you got to be even higher than that. I think averages are closer to 510 and above, with like a 3.5 GPA. Eve, regardless, if you go into an osteopathic school versus an allopathic school, you're going to learn the same medicine. So don't feel discouraged about that. The stigma is out there is getting much better. I think with the merger, if you're looking to go into particularly competitive specialties like orthopedic surgery, dermatology, because there's no longer a DO match, it is going to be very difficult to get into those as an osteopath. So if your heart is set on like plastic surgery, no, it's not impossible, but you're going to have to work really, really hard and be probably top of your class, like stellar board scores to get into those programs, versus I think you can get away with a little more wiggle room at an allopathic program to get into those. Obviously, you still have to have a top score like for orthopedic surgery, but just more options if that's what you're looking into. Anything more primary care based, like internal medicine, OBGYN, pediatrics, family medicine, emergency medicine too, pathology, all pretty DO friendly. I would just say, yeah, just derm, ortho, ortho, urology, ENT, like those are difficult, but again, not impossible. Like a guy in the year above me had average step scores and he matched into IR, interventional radiology, which is super competitive. I'd say like, I think they had like 60% matched the first year that it was open. So you know what? You can do it. If you make the right connections and you know the right people, it makes all the difference. As much as I love medical school and like being a smart person, like it's important, but who you know has a lot of pull. So anyone out there that's listening, make those connections and don't let them go. Like I still have my first mentor he's a dermatopathologist and was able to get me a rotation now for my fourth year so I can stay close to home, even though I have no interest in dermatology whatsoever. But I'll stay close to home and family. So like my landlord ended up being emergency medicine. So that's going to play into my favor to get an interview where I was before. So all these things, like be a genuinely nice person. When you go on your interviews, just be nice to everyone you see, including like janitors and all those people. I know, at least at our school, like they will ask those people how you treated them if they haven't had interaction with you. Anything negative, you're going to get automatically filtered out. So yeah, be careful with that. I guess for the interview at my school, it was, I didn't really touch on this before, but you just interview with two people, like two faculty members, whatever your luck of the draw happens to be that day, and just try and mesh with one of them. They're going to ask you about your extracurriculars and stuff. Like you just got to be able to talk to them. Like no one cares if you did 50 things on your CV, but if you can pick like one extracurricular, like 1 to 3 that you're really passionate about, like just stick to those. And it shows like a lot more in our book. They would let some of the med students kind of weigh in on applicants and on students that they interacted with, and just be open, be genuine, and just work hard. That's not going to change anytime soon.
Any final thoughts on your school?
I guess just a family-friendly place. So if that's what you're looking for, Toro's a good place for it. Prep your spouse or significant other that you'll be gone a lot first and second year studying, unless you're that genius that I mentioned earlier. But then third and fourth year get so much better. I wouldn't give it up for the world. So
and that was Stuart De Silva from Toro College of Osteopathic Medicine in Middletown, New York. I want to thank him for taking the time to do this interview with me, and it was very interesting to learn more about a newer campus in the Toro system, as well as learning about his journey to get into medical school. I think that's always interesting to see what kind of paths people take to get to medicine, and how that kind of shapes their specialty choice and what they do with their careers after medical school. And so I just want to thank him for his time. So with that, if you would like to reach out to me, you can do so at theosteopod@gmail.com. You can also search for this podcast at any of your favorite podcast stations, including Apple Podcasts, as well as Google. Also, you can look for the podcast on Twitter. If you look up The Osteopod, you should be able to find a Twitter page there. And finally, I'll include a link to the website, not only of Toro's main website, but of the Choose DO information page that is offered on Toro. They'll all be included in the show notes below. Once again, thank you for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.